This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
I'd like to say something.
This is Dirt and Spray.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin 4 miles.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Spray.
God, there was 1 week when you wore sweatpants every day.
Oh, you know what? If they were Sean John sweatpants, it would have been fine. But because they're Costco brand, it's like the worst thing I could do.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Well, I roll it out, come on.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Thanks for being with us on a Wednesday. Hope your day's going well. Get the Statter story coming up here in a little bit. We'll dive back into the World Series. What are we going to do with all of our non-football time now?
Enjoy it.
I'm just going to enjoy it. You got any shows you're going to watch? Huh? What's on the docket?
No, I'm going to start reading. I was going to read 25 books this year.
Yeah, how's that going?
Well, I got to 3 and then COVID hit. And you would think that would motivate me to keep going.
Yeah, it went the other way.
And it went the other way because I don't really buy books. I go to the library.
Oh, you're a renter. You're a book renter.
The library is an institution that we need to be valuing and taking care of. And I don't understand why we need to buy all the books we want to read when largely we rent them or loan them out. We never get them in again.
This is true.
Or we end up giving them away because they start taking up too much of our space. So I'm a very avid library goer.
Okay. I can appreciate that. It's a braggadocious thing. You want to have like, hey, look at my bookshelf when people come over.
Oh.
I've read all these big books.
Yeah, most people don't read those big books. I specifically know of 2 people.
You think they just buy them and put them on the bookshelf just
yes.
to have them there?
Yeah. I'm telling you, I know 2 people personally, and I know for a fact that they have bookshelves.
Really?
And they've read not one of those books on that shelf, but they buy them because they're like they're like John Gordon type books.
Yeah.
The Yellow Bus, and it's about leadership and the proper way to work in the corporate field.
Or how sophisticated are you?
Finding the real you. You know, it's titles like that, and then you mix in a couple big nonfiction or fiction books, depending on what you're looking for. You try to impress people. I know 2 people that live this life, and it's all a lie. It's a sham.
That's pretty funny. I didn't know anybody would actually do that.
I promise you, more people in your life with a bookshelf have done that than have read them.
Yeah, we have a very tiny, I mean, we got a small little bookshelf. We got a little guy on there.
Right, but I know you read.
Sure.
I'm saying other people, friends, family, you look on their bookshelf.
And check them out.
And you ask, hey, you read all those books?
Yeah.
I promise you most of them haven't.
What was this one about, huh?
Right.
Let's book club this bad boy.
I rented out a book to my cousin 3 years ago, and I just got it back 4 months ago. I said, what did you think? You had it for a long time.
Yeah.
I didn't really read it.
Didn't read it.
What did you do with it? I gave it to you to read because I told you it was a good read.
Reading's one of those things for me that I've never been able to get into a consistent habit with. Like, I do this with a lot of things. I'm this way with, do you guys take vitamins, like men's vitamins?
I don't.
You don't?
I've been told I should take a multivitamin every day now that I'm in my 30s,
now
but I don't.
Yeah, see, and I've been told that as well. Like, hey, you know, take a vitamin. What the hell? It takes 2 seconds. You put it in, you boom, it's gone, right? I go in waves, though. Like, I'll remember to do it for maybe 5-6 weeks in a row. I'm, like, diligent, take one every day. And the next thing I know, I'll look up and be like, man, it's been like a month since I've taken a vitamin. I'm that way with are you that way with reading? Like, I'll get into a book and sometimes I won't finish it all the way, but I'll go like 3 weeks, like reading every night. Like, yeah you got your routine, you get your routine. Right. And the next thing you know, I'm like, man, I haven't read that book in like a month. What the hell happened?
I did have a book like that. I got through about 40, 35 pages, and it was just a snooze fest.
Like, yeah, it's a slog.
I'd get 4 pages in and dirt. I'm not kidding. I would like doze off, and I'm like, okay, yeah. this book's not good.
That's the benefit of renting, too, is that you don't have, if you buy the book, I'll put books away. I won't finish them, but you're just stuck with it, and you got to throw it on the bookshelf.
Yeah, you borrow from the library. There's a timeline. Now, you can always extend. The Oregon City Library is beautiful.
You have a library card in your wallet?
It's on my keychain.
Oh, you got a little, yeah, a little scan you in.
We were pretty big regulars at the Oregon City Library.
You guys, man, look at the sprigs out there.
It's a newer facility. It's very beautiful. COVID's put a damper on that in 2020.
Shout out. You should get an OC Library endorsement.
I don't think that's a thing.
Hey, Sprague here for the Oregon City Library. Come on down. We're reading Clifford, the Big Red Dog.
Hello,
today.
Friends. Are you looking for a great children's section?
I wonder how many people out there know of folks that buy the books and don't actually read them. They just throw them on the.
I'm telling you, this is a real thing. Swigard knows people like this. They buy books because it's the hot book, and they're not readers. Yeah. And they largely do what you do. If they either don't read it at all, or they do what you say. They get about 40 to 50, 60 pages in, and they never finish it. And they go, well, I'm going to read that in a week. I'll start next week. And then the next week comes, and they're
punting.
A month goes by, 2 months go by.
Like,
people love to say they read, and what I have found is that they largely just don't. And I think you see examples of that for different stories that come out and that people choose to believe versus what reality is.
I'm with you on that. All right, let's get to some NBA notes. This one, interesting. We talked about it the other day, the NBA potentially wanting to start on Christmas, which caught some people off guard. Like, whoa, that's a little earlier than we imagined. The NBA wants to play 72 games, begin on Christmas Day, capitalize on that the TV connection that they have with that holiday. Well, Chris Haynes of Yahoo reporting today that a substantial faction of players and star players are pushing for the NBA season to start on January 18th, which is MLK Day, with free agency commencing on December 1st. So they're saying, push it back a month, bro. We're not going to be ready. And there's been some rumors, and who knows how true they are, because the last time LeBron threatened to do something, he didn't do it. He said he wasn't going to play unless fans were in the building. There's rumors floating all over the place that star players might sit out the start of the NBA season and just not play if the season starts on December 25th.
Yeah, you know, the NBA is really pushing for Christmas. I think Christmas is such an important day for them that they just feel everybody watches, well, not everybody, a larger audience watches basketball on Christmas Day for whatever reason, being around with family all day and wanting something to be on TV. I still think they're going to, I've kind of flip-flopped on this, and I'll probably flip-flop again. I didn't think they would do it initially. And then you started reading some of the tea leaves of this push, and when players start leaking and getting vocal.
Yeah, that's what this Haynes report is.
You can tell that it's the NBA really driving that they're wanting to start on Christmas, and they might ultimately win out because they're the entity. But the players coming out now, and LeBron gets thrown in this. Trust me, he is not the only one.
No.
If you told me Dame was a part of that group, I wouldn't be shocked. We've talked about this off the air. There's been a lot of teams, though, you forget. L.A. Miami just kind of finished about a month ago, 3 weeks, whatever it was. How long has it been since the Golden State Warriors played a basketball game?
They stopped in early March. They haven't played a game since March.
Portland stopped in July?
Right.
August?
It would have been August because this restart started at the end of July.
You're right.
So they were probably there for about a month, I would say, because 8 regular season games and then 5 playoffs.
So they've been now to the end of August. We're almost in November here. So
yeah, you're going 2 months ago.
I'll go back. I'll flip again, and I'll probably flip-flop, and you can call me a flip-flopper, but I kind of always eyed that MLK Day, and if you start free agency on December 1st, Holdo highlighted this the other day. Rookies, if they're to start on Christmas Day, will have like the shortest time frame to get ready than they ever have in league history. Draft's coming up. Free agency still hasn't completely been established.
Nope.
You're going to want a week or two for that. And then you want the acclimated process for all these new players and new destinations. a week's worth, 2 weeks worth of preseason. January 18th seems more viable, but the NBA loves Christmas Day, man.
Yeah, if you start on Christmas Day, your preseason would have to start like December 10th. Like, when would you get? I mean, because you got to give them at least a couple, because the rookies are breaking in. You got guys with new teams. You got to give them a couple of preseason games, right?
You'd imagine you're going for 4 to 6.
And your new star players won't play, but at least for the young guys, like, how weird would that be? You could have a draft. When's the draft? The 18th of November, I think.
Yeah.
You could go draft on the 18th of November and like 2.5, 3 weeks later, here, all right, season's here.
Tip it off, baby.
Okay, let's go play, man. That's interesting kind of separation between some of the players. And it is important to know, you know, as you just brought up, like a lot of these teams, if you end up not playing until the end of January, man, some of those guys are going on a calendar year without playing any competitive basketball. And they're staying in shape, I'm sure, and working out and, you know, playing scrimmages and that kind of stuff. But for the teams that ended at the beginning of March, it's just, that's weird to go that long without having to play. So they're gearing up. They're ready to go. Like, man, let's start on Christmas. But I get why some of the other players that were around longer that are saying, give us some extra time off. We're not quite ready. And maybe the common ground is LeBron and other guys like LeBron. You don't want to play on Christmas? Don't play. You'd load manage anyways. Don't start until MLK Day.
Well, he doesn't, you know, that's the thing. He doesn't really load manage.
No, not to the level of a Kawhi Leonard. Sure.
Right, that's a different
type.
But hey,
you want to take the first 2 weeks of the season off and then give your body some time? You're still going to be in the playoffs. Lakers, Anthony Davis can carry the team. You'll be fine. So it'll be interesting. We got some more NBA notes I didn't get to there. We'll get to those coming up at the bottom of the hour as some revenue reports came out about what they made last year. We have a coach hire, a management hire. There's a ton going on in the NBA today. So they're finding a way into the news cycle. And it is now that baseball's done. That's the next pro sport we got, man.
Yeah, college, NFL will lead us right into the NBA.
Right,
and then
in the NBA, whenever the hell it starts.
Baseball will be starting in February. Pitchers and catchers will be reporting.
Yeah, I haven't sent out my countdown clock. I got to do that today. I'll send that out.
It's a little earlier start date now because the season went a little longer.
Yeah, I'll have to go find that. I'll have to look up my spring training countdown clock. Let's get to your favorite segment, those statter stories next on The Fam.
Crunch the numbers.
There's 6,127 students at average, 58% of which are girls. So that's 7,107.32 boobs.
Break the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Is it a stat or a story?
Evidence based on olfactory prowess is inadmissible, in case you didn't know.
This is Stat or Story, a monumental judgment call with Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Come on, don't miss.
The Fan.
That's right, folks. Stat or story time. We did have a listener asking about the guys that have opted out, you know, last year for the restart. How many of them are coming? I would imagine all of them are going to be back.
For the NBA?
But I don't know if it's been fully reported.
Trevor Ariza has about 12 to 14 million reasons why he's going to be opting back in.
Yeah.
Also, I didn't bring this up.
It's not a bubble system. So they're staying in their homes and with their families and that kind of stuff.
Do you think David Price watched last night and had any regret? You forget that he's a Dodger?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Probably a little.
He opted out.
Yeah.
Did they have anybody else that opted out, or was it just Price?
I think it was just Price.
I think it was just Price.
That's a good point. Did he get a ring?
Yeah.
Even though he didn't appear in a game?
He's on the roster. And isn't it exempt to opt out? You don't get penalized for that.
Yeah.
But sure. You can't feel the same way about that ring.
No, he didn't have anything to do with it.
Did he win it with the Red Sox?
Yes, he was. Yeah. He beat
okay,
the Dodgers,
so he's got a legit World Series.
Remember, he finally ended. He was always bad in the playoffs and the postseason, and then he finally had a couple of good starts, and they won the World Series.
Well, at least he has that one, and he'll have a second one just for being traded there.
Yeah. All right, what do we got today?
Your first number is 58.
58.
Is it the total number of runs the Dodgers scored with two outs during their entire 2020 postseason run?
It was a lot, man.
Or is it the number of years the Coca-Cola company had been producing Tab Cola, its original diet soft drink, before announcing it was eliminating it?
Yeah.
Among several low-selling brands it decided to cancel.
Oh, come on,
oh,
man.
Stop. When did you buy Tab last?
I can't remember the last
time. I saw people crying about this. I'm like, when did you buy Tab last?
There's a reason it's going away.
A lot of runs, but I know they were good with two out.
They scored a lot of runs, and they were dominant with two outs.
I just saw this tweet, and I feel like 58 was the number.
Of Tab years?
Because 78...
So that was the year that you're saying it was started, what year Tab Cola came out?
No. How many years ago did they start producing it?
Did they start producing it? Okay.
I mean, 1962? You go 42. Tab wasn't out in 42. I'm going story.
You break out the calculator.
Hey, I'm a stupid idiot who can't do math. Of course I
look,
did.
Well, we don't want to answer the same, and I'm always wrong, so I'll let you get one right. I'll say this is a stat.
We'll see.
Story.
Yep. Oh. Come on.
Yes, 19...
At least my memory served me well on that
one. Yeah, it was
well played.
Yes, 1963. The Dodgers scored 59 two-out runs
I would have said
postseason.
No chance it was 58. It had to be less than that.
Yeah, they busted the record by quite a bit. No, 1963, Coca-Cola started producing Tab, its first true diet soft drink, using saccharin as the artificial sweetener. It grew to popularity more in the 80s. Remember the little pink cans? They went. I think it was one of the first ones to do the little mini cans.
Well, they went with the minis,
like the little 8-ounce stubbies there. But no, last Friday, Coca-Cola decided...
sugar-free.
Trying to consolidate things, focusing resources on brands that are most popular. They eliminated, I think it was close to 200 brands worldwide.
I'm just amazed it lasted this long, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
They still sell, I don't know if Coca, I don't know who makes it. Is Dad's Root Beer still out there?
Still out there.
Is that still a thing?
I have one in my fridge.
Does
in
it
my
taste
garage.
Good?
Yeah.
I have fond memories of Dad's Root Beer, but I have not had one in about 20 years.
I always preferred Henry Weinhard's a little bit.
Because it was the bottle, you thought you were drinking a beer?
Yeah. Maybe think I had a brewski going. You know, Tab being gone, that's whatever.
Yeah, Tab sold just 1.4 million cases a year ago compared to 636 million cases of Diet Coke.
600 million cases of Diet Coke were bought?
That's a lot of cases.
I'm just glad Shasta's still around. Because if you has to, drink a Shasta.
Oh, God.
I'm one day going to be a spokesperson for Shasta Cola. It's going to make no sense.
You're a big Shasta Cola guy?
I just, I had a lot of off-brand products as a kid.
Sure.
Cereals, you know? It wasn't Crunch Berries. It was berries and things.
The bag ones instead of the Kellogg's in a box.
Because my mom would look at them and go,
Toastios or whatever they were.
Yeah.
These Honey Smacks are $3.88 for this little ass box.
You got a bargain shop.
Those Sugar Smacks are $4 and we get a ginormous bag.
It lasts you a month, man.
All right, your next number is 20. Is it the number of RBIs collected by World Series MVP Corey Seager during the 2020 postseason run? That would be the 20. Second most in Major League playoff history.
Well, I have a note on that, too, but continue.
Or is it the cost in dollars of a one-ounce bottle of the Northwest's newest fragrance, Powell's by Powell's, that will go on sale November 27th from Powell's Bookstore?
Is this a fundraising thing to smell like a bookstore?
Powell's by Powell's. Yeah, does it make you smell like an old lady?
I will explain in a moment. I have the press release.
So, first off...
I like the smell of books, too, by the way.
Yeah, books smell great. I'm with you on that.
Shoes and books and cars. I
new
love
car
the smell.
New car smells great. First, can we... Like, I'm all for honoring people's great postseasons.
Yeah, I know.
And this has been a thing because they've always expanded it, and I get it. But
it's a little obnoxious.
Can we stop with, like, the most all time? Like, yeah, they played the most games all time. They added a whole new round that's a three-game... Can we just pump the brakes a little bit on that?
He was in fuego, though.
Yes, he was.
He really got it going again.
Yeah,
I saw some
people tweeting when Mookie Betts hit that home run, like, there was the MVP. I was like, he hit like 240 in the World Series. No. It's Corey Seager was dominant.
Mookie's defense, however, was crucial spots. I could see you making a case, but if they were going to go away from Corey Seager, I thought it would have been.
Are they
going to
pay him?
Kershaw Seager?
They better.
Yeah, they will.
You think so?
Yeah.
They got Buehler coming up on a big deal, too, don't they?
Yeah.
They're the Dodgers, dude. They're going to pay everybody.
Well, you can't
have local TV
$150 million dollar deals.
They're local.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. But they're going to move out some of the
riffraff.
I mean, Turner might be done. I don't know what was left on
him. He's a free agent, too.
He's a free agent.
Before I answer this,
Jock Peterson's probably gone.
I heard one funny thing.
Uh-huh.
And it was from a national voice.
Okay.
Get a kick out of this. Their opinion was, I'm really glad America got to see Mookie Betts.
Huh?
What? Did you not see him?
Come again, please.
Win and
I swear to God, that
won
was
an
the
MVP
opinion.
And was a World Series champion with the Red Sox
and played the most national games when he was in Boston.
Yeah, always playing the Yankees on Sunday Night Baseball.
Hand to the Holy Father himself.
This is a national media member.
It's a national media member.
Name
goes
names. Who said this?
I can't name names.
Okay,
but it was, I'm glad America got to see Mookie Betts. I mean, he's such an all-around player. And I thought, he was in Boston, you idiot.
Let me guess. You don't watch baseball, do you?
I'm going to go stat. I think he was in Fuego, and I don't remember his number.
20 RBIs is a lot, man. They got the Brewers series is done in 2 games. They swept the Padres, so that was done in 5.
Braves went to 7,
so you're a 12 plus 6. That's 18 games. 20 RBIs in 18 games. That's a pretty...
Multi-run home runs.
I'm always wrong on these, so I'm going to go story and say it was less than 20 RBIs.
It's a stat. There you go. 20
I think he
RBIs.
Had 18 against the Braves.
You felt like
no,
it, yeah.
Sure did feel
all
like
of them.
It.
No.
Should have bonds his ass in the LCS.
You start blocking him.
At $24.99 a bottle, I got this press release earlier today that says when Powell's Books, the world's largest independent bookstore, was forced to temporarily close its stores, it surveyed customers on what they missed most about the city of books. And book lovers replied in droves, nothing beats the aroma of Powell's. Mm. Well, now, Powell's by Powell's captures the scent of books with subtle hints of wood and violet. It's available for pre-order at Powell's.com November 1st. It'll come in a 1-ounce bottle nestled in a faux book, adding a vibrant and festive splash of color as a display piece on bookshelves, on a bathroom vanity, or anywhere else at the home. So they'll start, and they're also going to sell it in the store beginning November 27th. You want to...
I don't think I would wear
the aroma
that. I love the idea. There's probably a lot of people in Portland that would rock this. I'm not quite sure I'm in that demographic.
I wouldn't wear it, but I think most people that buy it are buying it, one, to support one of the greatest book stores in America,
yes,
and then also just kind of have it as like a keepsake.
It's a kind of a funny...
throwback, like, hey, look at this relic from Powell's 2020 COVID year. I've had it for 40 years.
If you do like a white elephant Christmas thing, I don't know if Christmas is even going to happen this year. Have we canceled that yet? But if it does, that'd be a pretty good white elephant Christmas gift too.
Well, the good news is that Trump said that Merry Christmas is back.
Oh, it's back. Okay, so it's on?
He made sure it didn't get canceled.
Okay, we're back. All right.
Your final number is 70.
70.
Is that the number of times Tampa Bay Rays batter struck out in the World Series?
Oh, God, no. This is a story because it was 8,000.
Or is it the total number of murder hornets that were removed from that first nest discovered in the United States in Blaine, Washington?
I don't feel like the number was 70. I'm going to go, Chad.
Wait a minute.
We just talked about this the other day.
Total or dead?
Total removed.
13 alive, I believe 62 died.
I'm going stat. They struck out a ton, man. It was about at a 10 a game clip, it felt like.
It might have been 58 dead, 13 survived. What's that math?
That would be north of 70 there, Bob.
It's
going to end up being a story because I said stat, but I'm sticking with my
head.
And
it's 72? Is that what you said? 72?
Number is 70.
70.
I'm not copying you. It could be 42, 13. I'll go against you to go against you. Stat.
It's a stat. 70 strikeouts for the Rays. Yeah,
they struck out a ton,
I really wanted to go story there, and I just thought, well, I went against you the other two. Why not?
What the hell?
No, this is from the Associated Press with that story when they found the nest, and we discussed that they... trapped a couple of them out there.
Yeah.
Put dental floss with a radio transmitter on them, followed them back, and happened across the nest. And so the final count was they vacuumed 85 of them
into
a special container out of it. They eventually died in there after the 13 that they found and trapped initially. Oh. So 98.
That was way off. Samsonite.
Wait, Swanson. I was on the thing the whole time, man.
Glad I went against you because my logic was almost leading me down that story.
That Rays team, I didn't watch them a ton this year. I'd usually only watch Giants games.
Well, they led the entire league in strikeouts.
Oh, man, that offense is rough to watch. Just rough. And credit to the Dodger pitchers, but dear God. Like, there were so many times the guys would just walk up and swing at three straight pitches that were out of the strike zone. The last hitter of the game started three straight pitches right down the middle of the plate.
You know, I don't know his name.
What are you doing? Adames, I think it was the last out. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, Adames. G-Man Choi let off the game swinging at three from Gonsolin.
God, just take a pitch.
Is there a worse way in your pro career, you think, than going and being the last out of the World Series and not even taking the bat off the shoulder?
It was only the fourth time, I believe, in World Series history that the final out of the game was recorded on a strike three looking.
I mean, to not even swing.
Like, give it a chance.
Man, you're only down two. It's not like it's an impossible comeback with two outs.
Loop and a blast.
That's the other thing. They were a tough team. I give them a lot of credit, and they're a fun story. They seemed like they just allowed the 3-1 deficit to make it feel like it was 13-1. They didn't have any mojo. Unless a Rosarena was coming up, there was nobody coming out of that dugout that felt like they had the energy or the wherewithal to make that comeback.
Yeah, it didn't feel like it. Once they got those two runs, man, it felt like it was over. There you go. Sadder story every Wednesday at 2:15. Little World Series edition, if you will. I might scrap the NBA stuff. There are a few NBA notes to get to. I just had a thought bubble because something popped up onto the screen. What is the more ridiculous claim? Okay, follow me on this. Which one of these is more outlandish? Reggie Miller claiming that he could score 50 points per game in an NBA season in the modern NBA. Okay? Or
these old heads, man. Let it go.
Bo Jackson, who we all love, claiming that in the modern NFL he would rush for 350 yards per game. What is the more outlandish claim, Bo Jackson or Reggie Miller? I want to talk about that next on The Fan. Welcome back in, 2:34. These are funny to me. So you get former athletes sometimes that look at, kids these days. They couldn't hang back in the day, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, you get the media members that do this crap, too.
Oh, they fall into the trap, too, right? So there's two of them in differing sports, and they both are just ridiculous. But I wanted to bring them up nonetheless. So this one, I tweeted about this. I remember when he said it and just being angered by it because it's just ridiculously stupid. And this was early September, I want to say. It was Reggie Miller. He was doing an interview about just the modern NBA and officiating and all that kind of stuff. And he had a quote saying, if this was in the 90s and you couldn't contest my shots, you had to go on the side of me, I'd be averaging 45 points a game.
Yeah. Nobody plays defense in the NBA now. No. And nobody contests 3-point shots because Steph's wide open every time.
So essentially what he's saying is he is better than literally every player in the modern NBA because there's nobody in the modern NBA that averages 45. What does Harden get to? Like, what was his high?
Harden was 35 or 36. 35? And the highest, I believe, aside from Wilt, who just dominated his era.
Yes.
Jordan got to 40.
For an entire season he did?
Yeah, I think it was 40 or 41.
Oh, wow.
You don't get guys that do that. If he did that, that would make him on the legend of Jordan and Wilt.
Sure,
that
same
Reggie
kind of
Miller,
status.
The guy who couldn't be Michael Jordan.
Yes.
Would have a better statistical season than Michael Jordan?
Yeah, Jordan came close. Year three, 37 points per game.
Yeah.
So that's pretty damn close.
Oh, I'm thinking of the finals.
Oh, sure. I'm sure he's done it in the finals.
Phoenix is insane.
Well, and this, I remember seeing that quote and it leading me to a rabbit hole of his basketball reference stats. Do you know what the highest point total in his entire career was? Now, granted, this was in the 90s.
Yeah, where, it's the only time it's been hard to play basketball.
His highest point per game total. 24.6. His third year in the NBA. That is the highest point total he ever had.
Was his third year?
Third year. Outside of that, the next highest, he had one other year where he averaged 22.6. Outside of that, one or two years in the 21s. And then, after you get past his age 31 season, every year is below 20 points per game.
Well, you have to remember, though, Dirt, on every single play of every single game from 1 to 82 and then every playoff game and every minute and every second, they were allowed to hold your entire arm, so it was really hard to shoot with two hands.
Sure, very true.
You could
tackle guys around the three-point
line.
You
have to remember, it was only hard to play basketball back when guys were less tall and less athletic than what they are now.
It just cracks me up, man. Like, no doubt the officiating was different, and you were allowed to be more physical. Like, nobody disagrees with that. It's such a slap in the face in the modern NBA to say that you could average 45 points per game. It's ridiculous. Well, I thought that one was pretty bad.
James Harden has the biggest green light of anybody in the league.
Shoots every time he wants.
and he can't do it.
And he gets more foul calls than anybody in the NBA.
Ever just like 12 free throws a game.
It's ridiculous. And he's never even been able to cross the 40 threshold, right?
Who did he do that interview with, and did that person call them out?
It was a TNT thing. I don't know. I just ESPN tweeted out the quote. It was a TNT thing that he said it on.
I think this is on par with him saying that Kobe's nickname was the Caramel Cat.
he said he called me the Caramel Cat, I think, or you're going to call me the... I think that was the story. Because Reggie wouldn't say Jordan's name. He called him the Black Cat. He wouldn't
say
his name.
The Black Cat, that's right.
And then he says to Kobe, you're going to call me the Caramel Cat or whatever the hell it was. The highest point per game total in Harden's career was 2018-2019. James Harden got to 36.1.
Yeah.
So that's the high. Guys have had great career, great years in the modern NBA, but nobody's come close to 40. That's the closest we've seen. That, though, was it topped, I have to ask, by... Bo Jackson, Bo Jackson's great, man. Nobody's got a bad thing to say about Bo Jackson. He was on Deion Sanders' podcast on Monday.
21 Prime.
21st in Prime. Thank you very much. Mm. And he, throughout his four seasons in the NFL, averaged 73 rushing yards per game. A lot of injuries, couldn't stay healthy.
And the hip problems.
The hip problem, no doubt. But a phenomenal talent, and some would argue, actually, I think most would argue, probably the best athlete in the history of sports. One of the best athletes we've ever seen. And he was talking about the modern NFL, and he said to Deion that nobody wraps up and tackles anymore. With me being the ball carrier, the coach taught us, number one, I know you can run, but I'm going to teach you how to carry that football. It's like this. I watch technique. I don't see nobody hitting or wrapping up. Everybody's running into each other and trying to use their shoulder pads to knock down the ball carrier. And I'm like, if I played in this era, man, I'd be averaging 350 to 400 yards a game because nobody wraps up anymore. They run into each other with their pads. The best NFL season he had was in 1989. He ran for 950 yards and four touchdowns in 11 games, while also at the same time playing, of course, for the Kansas City Royals. What's the more ridiculous claim? 350 to 400 yards a game for Bo Jackson, or 45 points per game for Reggie Miller?
You know, I got to be honest. There's not an answer here that's wrong.
They're both the right answer. You just pick which one you find.
Because Reggie's acting like he was this scoring machine that the league has never seen before, and he just wasn't. And
he wasn't even the best scorer of the 90s.
I love Bo Jackson. Bo knows. I'll always have an appreciation. If I ever get to meet him, I'll fanboy out and ask for an autograph. No doubt. Bo Jackson couldn't stay healthy playing pro football. Why would I suddenly believe that he'd stay healthy now?
Yeah.
If they're hitting with pads, wouldn't that actually make it more susceptible?
Well, guys are bigger and stronger than they've ever been.
Peter King had a funny point. Considering nobody's rushed for 300 in a game ever in league history, this would be a remarkable feat. I don't know what the right answer here. I'm going to lean Bo, but I think Reggie's just as stupid as the Bo Jackson comment.
Yeah.
400
yeah.
yards in a game rushing.
It's just
teams
ridiculous.
Don't average that in the NFL.
No, not in
no
the NFL.
No team does.
No.
The thing is,
I'm going to look up who the highest averaging per game team is on the ground.
Just as an entire team. It was probably, I think it was the 49ers last year. They had good rushing numbers.
Just over 200.
Right. You get a guy that maybe goes for about 90, and then you pencil it out from there
and
on out.
And you get a athletic quarterback that will add in some scrambles or designed runs for 40 or 50 yards a game. A
couple of reverses here.
It might
have
been Baltimore with Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
Yeah,
here we go.
Yeah.
Who do you think is the number one rushing team in the NFL right now? And how many yards per game
right now
do they average as a team? Not one player, as a team.
Ooh, right now.
Right now.
Baltimore is a prime candidate for that. San Francisco's not bad, but they had a couple clunkers early. I'd throw Cleveland maybe into that mix too. They
Cleveland
like to run the ball a ton.
The Chiefs should be in there.
The Chiefs, yeah, they've had some big rushing outputs the last couple of weeks.
Go with your very first gut there. You were right. Baltimore,
yeah.
164 yards
a
game.
As a team. With the most mobile quarterback in the NFL.
Now let's go to last year, because last year they were better overall. Last year they averaged 206.
Yeah.
One of the better rushing teams of all time, and they averaged 206 on the ground.
Yeah.
Bo Jackson's amazing. He might be the greatest athlete of all time. I think there's a lot of people you could throw into that, but really?
Right.
400 yards?
Right.
Bo don't know.
Bo don't know this one.
Bo don't know.
Well, it's one thing, too, for guys who were great players in their era. Nobody would, Reggie Miller was a great player in his era, and he had some great years in Indiana. Bo Jackson, if he would have stayed healthy, I would have loved to see what his career could have turned into in the NFL. And again, an amazing athlete to be able to do it at a high level in Major League Baseball and in the NFL. It's something we'll never see again. But they weren't the best of their era. Like, Bo Jackson wasn't the best running back in the NFL. Like, Barry Sanders probably was in the late 80s, right? Early 90s. So at least if you're coming out with a comment like that, I would hope it would be a guy like Barry Sanders. Like, hey, nobody tackles anymore. I could probably rush for 300 yards a game.
But isn't that, I mean.
Even that's ridiculous. But at least you're the best of an era. Or like MJ coming out and saying, man, I almost scored 40 a game back in the, you know, 80s and 90s. I could probably get 45. Like, all right, you're maybe the best scorer of all time. Like, sure, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt in that regard. To have Miller and Bo Jackson do it, who's are terrific in their own rights. I just, yeah, those made me chuckle.
So I went back and, you know, you could say modern era. It's a pass-happy league now. Mm-hmm. You spread them out. Okay. The latest I can go back for ESPN, and I can look up football reference here, but on ESPN, the latest you can go back is 04.
Okay.
More of a run happy type league, right? We hadn't gone into the pass happy.
Not the same as the 90s, but sure.
The leader in 04 was the Atlanta Falcons. They averaged 167 yards.
Yeah, I think you're going to be, even going back to 80s and 90s football, finding teams that rush for 200 yards a game. Few and far between, I would imagine. So Bo Jackson says he can run for 350 yards in the modern NFL per game, that is, per game. And Reggie Miller said that if he played in the modern NBA, he would average 45 points per game. What's the more ridiculous claim? 503-250-1080. That's the fan text line. I saw that one.
I'm going to look this up. The rushing offense. I got it on Football Rush reference here.
All right. Well, Sprague will dive into that in the break, and then we'll give some final thoughts as we wrap up the baseball season, the World Series. Blake Snell handled it with grace, but that couldn't have been easy. We'll close up next on The Fam. All right. You looked it up during the break.
Yeah, I went
back. Prime running days of the NFL.
Yeah, so I was trying to think, not in the 90s. I went to the 1987 season when the Washington football team won.
Yeah, running the football.
John Riggins.
That's right.
Gibbs, by the way, he won 3 Super Bowls with 3 different quarterbacks. That's probably one of the more underrated feats in sports history.
Very true.
Care to guess who the leader in the NFL in 87 was in rushing?
Well, I know because you told me, so I'll have Swigard guess it.
What team do you think led the NFL in rushing in 1987?
Rushing.
I would have guessed Washington.
Maybe the Bears. They had Peyton back then.
Oh, yeah.
Take a guess. It was the San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, they had Roger Craig and Raffman.
And they averaged 164 a game. So can we stop with the nonsense that he would have? And maybe he was joking. I guess we didn't hear the audio of it.
Historically, yeah, in the NFL, like, you have to work to have 400 yards of total offense, 450 yards of total offense.
There's another one today. I guess somebody texted in. You probably know this from being here this morning that Dickerson was on the herd this morning. He said he'd run for 2,100 yards every year in the NFL nowadays.
Well, since
what is it with these older guys?
Well, Dickerson actually rushed for 2,000 yards
in
the
NFL
season.
Every year. How many 2,000 yards? I mean, outside, we had Adrian Peterson did it a couple years back.
Jamal Lewis had one.
Jamal Lewis had a random
OJ,
one.
OJ had Dickerson. The first one. Dickerson.
Peterson was the last one, though, right?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, he won the MVP 2012. That was his year after his ACL injury.
Dickerson's in a 14-game season? Was that before they went to 16 games?
Could have been.
But every year,
pulling this up.
I mean, you could say, yeah, I'd be able to do it now. I wouldn't laugh at that, but every year, 2,100 rushing yards?
Yeah, it's.
I don't understand what this is. The fixation on the former athletes of basketball and football, just, they love to just act like the generation and the people playing now are not as good, they're not as talented. Like, there's some.
I think it's more about the game.
Like,
being
stems from an insecurity
softer,
or something. Right. I don't know what that is.
There are only 7 all time. Barry had one, and the Dickerson note, by the way, that was a 16-game season.
Oh, that was 16 games.
So he did it in 16. The only 7 of all time. OJ, of course, 1973. Dickerson did it in 84. Sanders did it in 1997. Then you had Terrell Davis in 1998.
That's right, yeah.
Jamal Lewis, as you mentioned, in 2003. Chris Johnson, the most outlier of outliers.
Speedy Chris Johnson.
Did it in 2009, and then Adrian Peterson in 2012.
Or no, Fast Chris Johnson.
Fast Chris Johnson.
What a great nickname.
That was it. Those are the only guys that have ever done it in the history of the NFL. But yeah, sure, you do it every year, right? Okay.
What do you think? I think it stems from insecurity. About losing their place in the history of the
league. It could be a little bit of it, sure.
I just don't get, let's just trash the entire new generation of basketball and football players. I don't understand why we do that.
Yeah, not to mention, it's a pretty pass-happy league nowadays, too, so it's not even like you're going to have many cracks at an individual player rushing for over 2,000 yards.
Dickerson should have made the claim that he would have joined that rare 1,000-1,000 club, if anything.
No doubt about it. He would have had a great shot at that. Yeah, the modern NFL and those offenses, absolutely. Well, the World Series is over. The Major League Baseball season has come to an end. I've sent out the tweet in case the people are wondering. I think it's like, what is it, 110 days, 40 or 7 hours and 46 minutes or something like that until spring training begins. How did you guys think Blake Snell handled it last night? That's a pretty tough moment to get pulled out. He was clearly pissed on the mound. But how did you think he handled it in the aftermath of the game?
Well, his post-game comments, I thought it was totally classy because he was able to express his frustration, but he did it from his point of view where he'd really only given up two kind of softly hit singles. He felt in control. He didn't specifically mention it. His manager, he didn't throw his manager under the bus. He didn't point it at him. He was able to express his frustration and that he was geared. He had gone out there with the mentality that I'm going to go all nine innings.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was as good as you could have handled that in that moment.
Yeah, I mean, class act in the post. I was watching that thinking, why is he not waving him out? Get the hell out of here, dude. I'm not giving this ball up. Let me get out of this inning.
That would have been a hell of a scene, wouldn't it, if he just starts yelling at him.
What's wrong with doing that?
Yeah, you've seen it before. Remember, Matt Harvey did it. Now I was in the dugout, but Matt Harvey did it in game five. I think it was game five of the 2015 World Series and ended up biting him. Terry Collins was going to take him out of the game. And Harvey was seen yelling at him in the dugout. Like, you're not taking me out. It was 2-0 going into the ninth. And he decided to put Harvey back in. He gave up two runs and they lost in extra innings.
The element of Cash of wanting, knowing he was going to do that the whole time. It didn't just bite him of making the change. I think it bit him not going out there and at least talking to Blake Snell.
Sure.
Blake, how you feeling, man?
Yeah,
you've been rolling.
Sense.
You just gave up a hit, but that's okay. How you feeling? Just communicating instead of two steps out of the dugout and an immediate call to the bullpen and Blake Snell seeing dropping F-bombs on camera.
Right.
I just, those guys know so much more about games than us. But there's times like that I'm like, that should just be something that's instinctual. That should be something that you just feel like, right. I'm going to go talk to this dude and see how he's feeling.
I wouldn't even have talked to him too. Like, it was a bloop single with one out in the inning.
I would have let him go one more batter, and if he gave up the home run, America's not destroying me. Sure. Guess what America's doing today?
Yeah, if he gives up an 800-foot home run and you want to go talk to him, I'm all for it, man. But a bloop single to center field?
I was surprised Blake Snell didn't wave him away. Like, hey, no, I want to keep going, man. Let me go.
He was clearly pissed, but the Dodgers won. They ended their 32-year drought of World Series championships. Swigard was drinking champagne all night. He's rocking his Dodger jersey today. He's feeling good, man. Feeling good.
He didn't even shower.
He bathed in champagne last night.
He bathed in champagne and slept in his jersey, butt naked.
Yeah.
And then woke up.
Sleep naked in the jersey, huh?
You damn right he did.
No, he didn't sleep in it.
No, we kept it. We didn't want it to get...
The bottom of that jersey has happy tissues in it.
Oh, man.
He's not denying it. He's not denying it.
He said, I wish Snell would have launched the ball over the center field wall like Bauer. Just turn around. You know, go get it!
That would have been great.
Man. Yeah, it was a weird night for baseball, but the season came to an end as the Dodgers won the World Series.
Hey, they got through it. They got the season.
They did.
And kudos to them. They made the postseason work, and they got a World Series champ.
You imagine what our show would have been like today with the Turner News if the Rays would have won and there was a Game 7?
Whoa.
What would be happening right now?
Whoa. Whoa, Bob.
Makes my brain hurt even thinking about it.
Game 7 in 2 weeks.
Yeah, we're going to just take a little hiatus. I can see both staffs are going to be ready to go and nice and fresh. Yeah. Oh, so there you go. Baseball comes to an end. Congrats to the Dodgers on winning the World Series. That'll do it for us, folks. If you miss any of the show, Les Schwab Tires Podcast, 1080thefan.com is where you can find it. Thanks for being a part of our Wednesday. We'll talk to you tomorrow at noon. And what's next? You're listening to 1080 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.